you think about what he's doing, you know, his caddy, Ted Scott, assuming he gets 10% for wins, 5% for others, you know, whatever the case is, you can fudge the numbers a little bit. But if you just took him right now today, his caddy would be top 40 on the PGA Tour money list. Ladies and gentlemen, he is back, the one, the only, the Tony Covey after 2 weeks off. It's No Putts Given. How you living? Chris and Tony, hit that subscribe button before we talk about anything important. Hit the subscribe button and
I'll even point subscribe. It's down there. Right?
Oh, yeah, point. Yeah. Tony, you're back.
I am.
Where'd you go?
I was on, I took 2 weeks of paternity leave. So,
paternity leave.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it much, but like longtime viewers of No Putts Given may remember I had two beautiful Dobermans. Unfortunately, we lost them both over the course of a year. Rough, but you know, we had planned on getting a second one after we lost the first one, so to speak. And so, anyway, we'll just bring her out real quick. And then she'll want to go back to bed, but this is Miss Elodie. She is 12 weeks old today, and she seems like a real keeper. So she's a sweetheart. So she's.
I think we have a new mascot for No Putts Given. I love it. I love it.
That's what I did the last 2 weeks. I just hung out with her.
That's.
I wasn't in hiding because I predicted Tiger would miss the cut, and he didn't.
The more people I meet, the more I like dogs. I think I saw a t-shirt that said that somewhere. Well, still some things to talk about, largely tour-focused, because what a time to be alive between Nelly. We're going to lead with Nelly today, BTW, Scheffler. Billy Horschel may have won last week. You may not have heard about that. And some 15-year-old – I mean, like, what were you doing your freshman year in high school? You weren't making cuts on the Corn Ferry Tour, but somebody is.
Well, that was because there was no Corn Ferry Tour. That's the only reason. That's
yeah, it was story. Called the Nike Tour when you were in, really? In high school. It wasn't even web.com yet. Anyway, we got to start with Nelly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, hats off. In case you've been under a rock – or don't pay attention to golf or women's golf in general. This last weekend, Nelly became the third player in LPGA Tour history to win five tournaments in a row. The other two names you may recognize, Annika Sorenstam, Nancy Lopez.
Yeah, those are not scrubs. This is not rarefied air, as they say.
You can't even call it a Mount Rushmore because there's only three. Like, we need a fourth. Like, you know, that it's that rarefied air that there's three. And my word, this was her second major win as well. So first major of the season for the ladies.
The Nelly's Chevron. Second
the Chevron.
Which was.
The Chevron. But my Lanta.
I mean, this was the ANA and the Nabisco and the Dinosaur. It's been a lot of things, but the first major of the women's season.
What's most impressive to you about Nelly's run of five? Is there anything that sticks out to you?
I mean, obviously it's just the consistency of it because, I mean, there are a lot of good golfers on every tour, right? Like, I don't care. Whether you're talking PGA, LPGA, Champions Tour, Corn Ferry, LIV, right? There's talent across the board here. And so to win twice in a row is really hard. So to win twice in a row twice.
To win once.
Right? And then the fifth time, like it's absurd. It's a run. And, you know, you hope that this has lasting ramifications for the popularity of the women's game. Like it is at that point where it's becoming by golf, you know, within the scope of the golf world, it's become must see TV at this point when Nelly plays. And so, you know, when we talk about the discrepancies in viewership and the fact that we're LPGA coming second to Champions Tour at times, it's an incredible run and it really should be. I mean, it would be the story of the year if Scotty wasn't on such a heater on the PGA Tour. And I would still argue, like, five in a row, including a major, that's you know, I think it really deserves to be the story of the year with Scottie Scheffler a close second at this point. But yeah, this is phenomenal. I mean, fastest to win 2 million in a season. All of it. And it really feels like how many events. Well, we know we've had the LPGA's had at least 5, but I mean, right. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think to me, the most impressive part of this is, like you said, just give it a little context. It's like you said, it's hard to win a professional event anywhere on any level. And there's plenty of people that play professional golf that, you know, have a very, very successful life playing golf and do not win 5 times, period. But to win 5 in a row. And then to me, in addition to all of that, to win when you're supposed to, when you're the front runner, all the pressure is that, like, there's nothing you can do to be exceptional, right? Other than win. People are expecting you to win, and it is so hard to win. But then that's the expectation going in. People are expecting you to win. And so to be a front runner and then to deliver in a sport that's, number one, entirely individual, coach can't sub you out, you know, if you're having a rough day or whatever. So you're a front runner, coach can't sub you out, 72 holes, 4 days in a row, and you have to beat every other player in the field. You don't have to beat one other team or whatever. You have to beat 90, 100, 156 players, again, depending on the size of the tournament. So over 5 weeks in a row, I mean, you're beating 6, 7, 800 people consecutively.
It's absurd. It's absurd.
That's absurd.
It's absurd.
That is absolutely absurd. And
you wanted to talk about her bag a little bit, right?
I do. That I was just going to say. I want to get into her bag because let's caveat. Talk about
the equipment.
Yeah. Let's talk about the equipment. Number one, you'll never be as good a ball striker as Nelly Cord. I'm talking to you people out there. You won't. Sorry. You're never going to play at that level. Sorry.
The scratch golfer is not going to. Yeah, it's not going to be competitive. Sorry.
But I feel like there's some things that everybody could learn from taking a peek inside what Nelly has decided to put into her bag. So let's start right away. Let's look at driver QI 10 Max. So she is one of the ones that went with the Max head.
Yeah,
not
there's
the
always,
head,
I mean,
not
it's
the LS head.
Yeah, you just never know with the tour builds, right? So could be prefer like the profile's the profile. You don't change that. But you never know how these things are weighted internally, how much hot melt is in to move the center of gravity around. So I don't know if hers is playing at that max MOI turf 10,000, right? It's not.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're seeing her drives in 10K. But yeah, I mean, the bigger head for sure. It's probably something to be said for that.
And it doesn't surprise me too, because I remember when we were out at Titleist at one point when she was on Titleist staff, and she remember hitting her TSI. It was like the TSI, I think, at that point. TSI.
She was one. A one player, right?
She was a one with a graphite design shaft in there at that time. So, again, a lighter, more forgiving head. So that doesn't necessarily surprise me. Love the fact that she goes 3-wood, 7-wood hybrid. Love this setup. 3-wood Stealth 2, 15 degrees, 7-wood, 21 degrees, and then a 26-degree Ping G425 hybrid. I love that. What do you love most about that? Because I know you like that too.
I'm always going to love the 7-wood. Always going to love the 7-wood. And I've gone back to a 5-iron, but I wouldn't rule it out. I do occasionally put a 5 hybrid in play. I've got like a PXG Gen 2 hybrid that I played for. Mm-hmm. It's still my go-to. I struggled with it a little bit last year, so kind of fell out of love with it a little bit. But I love that. I mean, I play with enough guys. Like the 5-iron is just not for average golfers, and obviously Nelly is well above average here, but I'm talking in terms of average male golfers. For the overwhelming majority of us, the 5-iron is not a high probability play. It's almost like a necessary evil, right? Like, all right, I've got whatever your distance is with this. For a lot of guys, you would love to hit just about anything else in your bag, probably other than the 3-wood, but you're it's the club that's for the distance, right? Like, so, I think unless you're one of those guys who absolutely hooks hybrids off the planet, forgiveness of a 5 hybrid, that just kind of, just a lot harder to miss badly with it. So I love that. I love seeing that.
I love seeing that too. And then, you know, again, the other thing to pay attention to here is she does play a P775 iron and then P7MC 6 through wedges. The thing to pay attention to here is just because a club is stamped a certain number or has a number on it, that doesn't necessarily tell you anything. You could have 3 5 irons. You could have 2 5 irons that go and play totally differently. A 5 hybrid doesn't necessarily always replace a 5 iron.
There's a guy in my club who carries 2 6 hybrids.
Exactly. Exactly. Because she goes from like a 21 degree 7 wood to a 26 degree hybrid. So again, it's about launch, trajectory, all of that kind of stuff. You get into the irons, Aerotech steel fiber, 80s. Don't be afraid to go lighter, people.
I'm afraid to go lighter. You've seen what happens.
I know. For those of you who don't have a tempo like Zorro, think about going lighter. You know, I think that's a message here, though, is like heavier isn't always better. Lighter isn't always faster. I get that. But you can just watch Nelly swing on a repeat. It is so smooth.
What's amazing to me is that the ball goes anywhere with that swing, because it looks like, I mean, it's like your friend who likes to bunt his driver 180 yards on a long par 3, like that kind of thing. Uh-huh. Like that's what it looks like. It's just like,
except it goes, hers goes 270. Yeah.
Effortlessly. Yeah. I don't understand how that works.
The wedges I love. MG4s, which we know we've tested. So TaylorMade wedges have tested exceptionally well. And then you get to the lob wedge part of the bag, and it again feels an awful lot like we're talking about the kind of the default, or almost like, you know, once you get your professional tour card, you have to get this club in your lob wedge, and that is Vokey T grind. Everybody loves a T grind.
Yeah, something about that one. I guess it's interesting because, like, Vokey's not the only one that makes a low bounce lob wedge with aggressive heel toe and trailing edge relief. It's just, man, something about whether it's just confidence that comes with having used it over time or what it is, but it's that just, like you said, it is kind of like the it's almost to the point where you expect to see it for anybody who has a little bit of wiggle room in their contract.
Yeah, and then putter, Scotty Cameron Special Select, square back 2. The interesting thing to me here is it was not that long ago that was Scheffler and Nelly. We were talking about this Logan Olson guy, right? And, you know, again, kind of the crafty, boutique-y type putters, you know, getting in there with TaylorMade. And I think had you seen both Scotty and Nelly play really, really well with that style or that putter, might be a different, you know, discussion. Scotty switches to a mallet. We'll talk about him in a second, and right goes on an absolute barrage. Nelly obviously moved away from that one and has done what she has done. But then she's playing the new TaylorMade TP5X. Big deal there, Tony.
I mean, she's TaylorMade staffer contracted, but I mean, if I were going to play a TaylorMade ball, that's the one I'd play.
TP5X.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, because like, it's going to be call it more of a true tour flight, if you will, but it's going to fly lower. It's not going to spin as much as the stock TP5. It's gotten a little faster, I think. So yeah, I mean,
yep.
That would be, if that was my catalog, it's a no brainer for me.
I'm surprised we haven't heard more about 5X and that. It just seems like TaylorMade isn't shouting quite as loudly about the ball thus far.
It's early. And again, we know, and we can touch on this when we get to Scotty, but you know, to an extent,
Let's go right into Scotty.
Tour will drive some of the conversation around equipment in terms of how it's marketing and what manufacturers talk about. And as good as Scotty has been, and you could make a case here. I mean, TaylorMade may be off right now where we are, and it's early today in the season, but TaylorMade may be having the best year ever in terms of from a tour perspective. You get, again, Scotty Scheffler, TaylorMade staffer, 4 out of the last 5. Nelly, TaylorMade staffer, 5 for 5 now. Incredible. But
they're 2 for 2 on majors between ladies. Like, what else do you want?
But the ripple here is Scheffler is playing the Titleist ball. So
Right.
So that's the one ripple in that story. And that may be why, or at least to an extent. And again, a lot of it too, there's a cadence with how manufacturer promote things. And so, like, out of the gate, it's going to be driver. Makes sense. You want to get out early with that while it's hot, if you will, while it's new, one-year mm-hmm. cycle, we presume that's going to remain true for TaylorMade, whereas Ball, right. you've got at least a two-year window to get out sure. and start talking about it. And as they start, I mean, we saw the kind of the first limited edition of the season with the awesome, awesome. Peach box. Mm-hmm. I think you'll hear more about the Ball as the year goes on, but
yeah.
I mean, Christ.
But we'll see.
It's yeah, just
speaking of
if, which, if I'm Taylor, man, I really couldn't be much happier. And the only thing I can gripe about is that, you know, the guy is playing somebody else's ball. But I mean, still, you're having a year, TaylorMade.
You are doing well. Yes. Scheffler, fourth win of the season, goes back to back. First major, we know the Masters, like, man, this guy needs a week off. He's like, yeah, no, I committed. I'll play. So he shows up and wins. Okay. I mean, you think about what he's doing, you know, his caddy, Ted Scott, assuming he gets 10% for wins, 5% for others, you know, whatever the case is, you can fudge the numbers a little bit. But if you just took him right now today, his caddy would be top 40 on the PGA Tour money list.
I mean, that is, I'll take that. Yeah.
You know, like, and again, you talk, I mean, like his
caddy. How much is he loving his life right now coming, you know? From his previous bag and you know.
Right, from Bubba
yeah.
to Scheffler.
We've gone from pray for Ted Scott to, you know, this guy's just
right.
Cruise right. control.
Good so here's him. A funny one, though. So next week, you know, or coming up, right, we have the Zurich, which is a two-man event. So players are, you know, pairing up, obviously. Here's an idea. What if Scotty, ultimate flex, he's just going to show up and play by himself. He's just going to get up to the first tee and yell wolf, and I'm in. Or or he could play with Ted Scott. He could just play with his caddy and see how that goes. Or what else could he do to him? I mean, this is...
I mean, I'm sure like there's probably some rules that govern who gets to play in these things, you know, like actually having to qualify. But I mean, what Why? An opportunity for TaylorMade, right? Play with Scotty. You can be his partner at the Zurich because... He doesn't really need doesn't you need anyway. Or uh-huh. just grab some rando out of the crowd. I mean, like, what a and like if you were gonna put a wager, right? Who would you take? Would you like take some other pairing of tour pros, or would you take Scotty and anybody at this point?
I know. That would actually be a great betting question, like on their list of available players. Like, at what point in time, like Scotty plus X person, like at what point in time do you think they would not be competitive? Like, how far would you have to get down? Would it be just Scotty by himself?
I think it's, like, I think hey, it's probably somewhere between Chris Nichol and Tony Covey. That's where that split happens.
It probably is.
You but that might be able to help him out with a hole or two.
right. Right. Maybe. Not so much. Maybe. And because it was a signature event, right, we had opposite field stuff going on, a couple of things to note. Billy Horschel, welcome back to the winner's circle, Billy Horschel. I think his last victory was at the Memorial, but he's hit, I don't want to say rock bottom, but he definitely posted some rounds over 80 and has struggled, won this week. So let's hear it for opposite field events. Like to see that. And then, Tony, what were you doing your freshman year in high school?
I don't remember.
Were you...
Nothing productive, nothing. Yeah, no.
No. No. No, you weren't. But Miles Russell is. 15-year-old kid. This is awesome. Made the Korn Ferry Tour cut. Made the cut this week. Finished T20, I believe. So first time since, I think, 83 when they kind of started keeping these records. Or the youngest player to finish top 25 or better in a Korn Ferry Tour or PGA Tour event. Automatically gets him into this week's event too at the Veritex. So for a 15-year-old, he can't drive. I don't think he shaves. And he beat some pretty darn good players last week. He's 15. 15. Insane. All right, let's talk some equipment stuff, Tony. Because there's some equipment things going on this week. Let's tease this one. This is coming out tomorrow. If this posts Wednesday, this will be tomorrow on Thursday. Callaway Chrome Tour Ball Lab. You wrote about Callaway earlier this year, just kind of the whole evolution of how we got to where we are with Chrome Tour. And now we put it through the Ball Lab, which again, Ball Lab does not measure performance, people. It measures manufacturing, consistency, and quality. What do you want to tease for us with the Chrome Tour?
I mean, I think I'll just keep it real simple, right? The pattern we've seen from Callaway has been steady improvement for a few generations. And I think what you're going to see reflects steady improvement, not perfection, but improvement. You know, certainly from a quality perspective, Callaway has evolved from a golf ball brand that you could not have paid me to play to a ball that I would play comfortably. And you know, like I'm a left ash guy still, but I do have some Chrome Tour here that they sent me, and I'm definitely going to get them out on the course and try them and see what we're working with here. So yeah, it's encouraging to say the least. Encouraging.
Yeah. Side note, somebody's going to ask a question and say, hey, we saw that Billy Horschel played a Pro V1 X Plus, which is a higher launching, higher spinning variant of the Pro V1 X prototype that they've been experimenting with. So just in case you happen to see that out there, that's super easy.
Guys, with Titleist, if the special plus mark is on the, if it's on the left side of the stamp, so like left dot, for example, it's going to be lower. And if it's on the right side, higher.
In the non-Titleist Callaway major OEM space in the golf ball world, we know that there is the kind of what we call the DTC space. This is Snell, Vice, Maxfly to a degree, some of these other ones. Snell, new golf balls coming out too, Tony. What do we got there? We're going to write more about these, so just a quick overview, if you will.
Yeah, so I haven't had a chance to catch up with Dean because, as we mentioned, I've been gone for a couple weeks, but really looking forward to this conversation and learning more about the new generation of Snell. So really interesting, though. So three ball lineup this time, two-piece, three-piece, four-piece. Three and four-piece going to be familiar, right? Direct replacements for what you know. And I think we're going to find out that the notable improvement is going to be cover durability. That was
right.
That was something we heard about with the Prime Series. I think the curiosity to me, and it's not a ball that I would play by any stretch of the imagination, but the two-piece is a urethane covered ball. So that's a rarity. We don't see a lot of that because, again, a lot of the two-piece stuff is driven almost entirely by price. We're going to hit a price point. It's going to be cheap. And to keep it cheap, we're going to put an ionomer cover on it.
Yep.
Dean Snell decided to put a urethane cover on it. Interesting, if only because that should give you softer feel. It should give you a little more spin around the green. It's not going to give you kind of the spin separation you're going to get with a three or four piece ball.
No.
But chances are, if you're looking at a two piece
ball, A, you don't know what spin separation is, and B, you probably don't care.
Exactly. But a little more spin, a little better feel, and you're still at the $25 price point. So I think. Right. Again, not a ball I would gravitate to myself, but knowing how many bargain conscious and readers, viewers we have that are completely comfortable with inexpensive two-piece golf balls, if you can give me something that performs a little bit better for the same price, I'll take that. I love it.
That's the part that's intriguing to me with the two-pieces. You know, and we'll see where Snell evolves to. And like I said, the three-piece and the four-piece is going to be pretty familiar to what people are, I think, expecting from the purported benefits and performance part. But a two-piece ball, like I said, are generally exclusively ionomer covers because, again, you're trying to hit a price point. And doing any type of urethane cover is going to be more expensive than an ionomer Sirlin cover. So, again, with the idea being a little bit better feel, a little bit better spin and control around the greens. So, could this be the best two-piece ball on the market? Like, if you're going to say, I want this, but like...
Yeah, I mean, this is not something... We'll see. And again, like for a small brand, it's important to differentiate yourself when there is an opportunity to do so. And,
sure.
You know, Titleist doesn't have a two-piece with a urethane cover. Callaway doesn't have a two-piece with a urethane cover. Bridgestone doesn't have a two-piece. And just TaylorMade, right? Mm-hmm. On and on and on. Mm-hmm. So, and again, I don't... It's one of those things where I think, you know, some of those brands would probably argue that there's no point. But again, you're gonna experience a little softer feel, likely a little more spin, and just, if nothing else, something a little bit different.
Yeah, and they'll be able to tell a slightly different story, I think, than some others. Ping has a putter line extension. Dave Wolf, our putter extraordinaire, has written all about that. Do you want to hit me with a couple details on that one, Tony? It's nothing, you know, super crazy. It is literally a line extension, more options, kind of what a line extension is. It's nothing crazy new, but it is.
No, more. And it's I just brought it up, and there it is, right? So, the Fetch is back. So if you guys don't remember, like, the Fetch is the one that has the hole in it. You can actually stick it into a cup to pull out your ball. It allows you to fetch the ball, right? And so, you know, that's the one that stands out. Answer 2, answer D, so, you know, pretty stock. The B60, so familiar shapes. Nothing radical here, like I mentioned. The Fetch, and then this Catch G. So this is the one, like, the Catch is, I would say, one of maybe the, but certainly on the list of iconic designs, putter designs in the My Golf Spy testing era. So we haven't seen a Catch in the lineup for in a while. So, you know, a little bit of a, looks like it's got a little bit of a Fetch design on the bottom, little hole in there. I will see how that pans out. But definitely pure Catch on top. So if you like that original or semi-original Catch shape,
like you said,
the alignment lines,
in the mallet world,
it's very familiar. And then, you know, last but not least, there's a Tine H, which is, you know, Ping's kind of fang-ish, if you will.
Yeah.
So yeah, again, you know, line extension. Just we're
Billy Horschel's a big fan of the Tine. Billy Horschel's a big fan of that one. I believe he had it in the bag when he won this week as well. We got to spend 2 minutes on this, Tony. Vice Golf released earlier this week an ensemble is what I'm going to call
collection. A collection.
A collection specific to raising awareness and some funds around testicular cancer.
A portion of the proceeds, right, whatever that means, goes to testicular cancer research.
Right. We are not ones to avoid sophomoric humor from time to time.
So it's a Vice, not either. Specially marked Vice Pro Plus golf ball with the Testicular Cancer Awareness Foundation logo.
But look
on
at
it.
The towel, Tony.
Yeah,
look
at
the towel.
I mean, first of all, I'm not comfortable using a splatter pattern on the golf ball for this particular topic. But as it may,
it doesn't matter. Look at the towel.
How I would have gone. The towel is
I'm buying a towel.
Got a mustache for some reason. You got
the mustache.
Obligatory ribbon. You got it might be a golf ball with a splatter pattern. It's a ball. And then you have what is inarguably like a rendition of a ball sack.
It's a scrotum.
Scrotum. And then there's ones I was like, I don't get the acorn thing. And then you realize, like, oh my God, we've gone to the level of medical drawings here. That is like an internal view of testicles. Yeah. Okay, cool.
This
cool
is
story, bro.
I applaud the effort.
Some sperm. I mean, we got a little bit of everything. Like, throw this on your bag proudly. It is absolutely a conversation piece. Again, portion of the proceeds going to a good cause. So, hey, man, if you're gonna drop part of your nut on something, yes, this is it.
There you go. And thank you so much, Tony. All right, last topic. We got to talk about a couple things. I want to highlight a couple articles. If you haven't read these yet, Ask My Golf Spy Wilson edition. There's some really, really cool stuff in there. Barba got into that one. Custom simulators. You guys know we've been doing a lot of building out at our facility. I'm working on a little project in my garage now. Tony has been doing some things as well. This is all working with Shop Indoor Golf, as well as a gentleman there, James Laidlaw, who is in charge of all the installation stuff. Really, really cool guy. Sean Fairholm has a good article up today on that as well. But we're going to finish up with this today. No Putts Given April Challenge. So this is our wedge challenge, Tony. Where are we at on this? I still need to complete it. I need to do it this week.
I hit my 100 shots. And boy, I was confident. Even after 10, I had close ones. I thought I was going to get through it. The spoiler here is I failed. I did not hole out in 100 tries from 67 point something yards. Chris, I sent you some videos.
Yep.
Take a look. I mean, the good news is I hit like 85 plus percent of the time I was on the green.
How did that not go in?
Right? Right?
Oh, all right. The first one, I mean, that hopped in front. It ended up right behind.
Yeah, and again, I know simulators don't always have pin physics, so you don't always hit the flag when you hit the flag. So I thought – I thought I got robbed a little bit. And then the second one,
about it. Yep.
The second one is when I knew I was not going to get it. Because if that one didn't go, it just wasn't. So.
And here's the reality. Maybe the simulator's harder. Because I think...
Let's go with that.
Like, obviously, the first one you hit probably should have hit the pin.
Yeah.
Can you hit a pin on simulator golf? Does it let you hit an actual flag stick or no?
Yeah, I mentioned this. I did not choose the easiest hole. I definitely did not choose the easiest hole. You don't get a ton of rollout. I mean,
it's
a
65-yard shot, though, and it's straight. So it's like...
Yeah, and it's... But it's... There's kind of a... It's up on a mound. So this is number three at the boulders on Foresight Play. So it's kind of... You can see it. So you don't get... If you're short, you don't roll up. So you got to carry it just right. I chose a difficult hole with a difficult pin location. Paid the price.
I'm
not.
I'm going to choose an easy one with a funnel.
Yeah.
You know?
I need a big Tupperware bowl. Yeah. So I failed. I don't know. I didn't win anything. We'll see. Bro, I don't know, guys. Let us know if you tried it.
What's the best? We're not going to answer this now, but I want to get people's feedback. Post your comment. What is the best or worst member guest tea prize that you've gotten? I found this one. It still has the tag on it. This is from McGregor Links. I can't remember what year this was. I really like this head cover, but I'm sure people have gotten some good ones, and I'm sure you've gotten some bad ones. I would love to know what those are.
Drizzle
stick. This was a good one. I like
drizzle stick. Drizzle stick was a bad one. You know what the drizzle stick is?
Does it have anything to do with vice golf? Because I need to ask that first.
Golf. No, you know the tiny umbrellas that just cover your golf bag?
Oh, yeah. Anyway. That's terrible.
So I failed. That's terrible. Know.
All right, people.
I failed. Time. So if you've got ideas for what my punishment should be for failing.
Yeah, Tony needs to do some penance. You can't say you can leave for 2 weeks. We don't want to see you again for 2 weeks.
I'm going to disappear for 2 weeks off and just hang out with a puppy. What's up, Lolo?
It's fair. All right, people. Appreciate you. Let us know what you think. Post your comments, question things below. Subscribe. Hit the button. Golf's by T, Golf's by C. Until next time, we're out.